Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. It's a bit hazy out there this morning, and the markets have been sort of hazy as well.
Bob, our question for today comes from a listener named Jim. That's a great name.
Yeah.
Seamus. James. Bob, maybe it's time to admit financial history cycles, waves, and expert opinions are no match to perpetual printing, statistical manipulation, and lying.
Yeah.
Japan, 34. Yeah. Well, we've seen people convicted.
That's a good observation.
Yes. Japan, 34 years and counting, two complete U.S. banking bailouts in 15 years, plus countless other bailouts without a single consequence, are proof of this manipulation. Everyone knows central banks are not independent and will never let things fall. Everyone is laughing at the central banks. It's only a matter of time before quantitative easing and lower interest rates are implemented once again. Gold will never be allowed. It is printing restrictive, just adds zeros and inflate the debt away.
Yeah, that's a good summary of looking at things the way they are now. But I kind of stay away from waves and cycles, and a better term is recurring patterns. And this is now the sixth great financial bubble since the first, which was the South Sea bubble in 1720. And they were set up under similar circumstances, and everybody went crazy about stocks and bonds. It got up to huge speculation, and then it collapsed. And this is the intriguing part, is that there are four features of the transition from a global bubble to a global deflation. And one is that in the bubble, copper's real price goes up, and the bubble's over, and copper's real price go down. That's what's working out. Going the other way, gold's real price goes down with the bubble, because it's money, and then goes up with the post-bubble contraction. And gold's real price, whether deflated by the CPI or by the CRB, has been acting well. And then another one is that real long interest rates go up, and they have been. And the senior currency is chronically firm. So these are tracking, and we're in many instances on the path to a severe post-bubble contraction, which then the central bankers will not be able to do anything, nothing. They're just, the power shifts from the central bank to inflate to the margin clerk who's there to get the accounts in line. And it happens in every bubble. So, his comment about gold, it will never be allowed. I think that there will be a major reform. And when the crash comes in, the public's going to look at the central banks and say, you took trillions of our tax dollars to prevent bad things from happening. And bad things are happening, so you guys are a bunch of idiots. So you can never, ever get rid of a central bank, but you can discipline it by going to a gold standard, gold convertibility, and I believe that will come along at some time.
So was J.P. Morgan's answer to every debt problem just inflated away, right?
I don't think I saw Morgan say that, but no, no. The debt bubble balloons and then it busts, and you go into severe financial contraction every time. And to give you an idea, and this our questioner is accepting the story that the Fed can inflate and do anything, and then it's going to do a QE and the party will be back on, is an excerpt from an editorial in Barron's of January 1932, which was at the bottom of that first bear market following 1929. And it quite simply states that every anti-deflationary measure taken by the Federal Reserve System is seen not to work. It's the problem, and the anti-deflationary mechanism that the Fed was using was to buy bonds out of the market. And there you had that editorial saying that all the efforts by the Fed to inflate were hopeless. And so this is the point. If central banking worked, it'd be one steady advance in the economy and one, 300-year-long bull market since the Bank of England was established in 1694. But clearly that's not the case. You run into excesses where we have been, and these excesses will bring the whole house of cards down. And it has to do with the final burst of inflation that the state uses to kind of fund its activities and its wars. I mean, this is always a period of wartime. And then that drives the financial speculation to the moon, and then that crashes. Then that starts to close the gate on state extravagance. The tax revenues will diminish hugely, and the deflation and problems will mean that the countries will no longer be able to fund themselves through inflation. So we're going to see a changing world in here with the state running out of the ability to intrude, to conduct war, to do inflation, and just generally do the bad stuff they've been doing for the last 100 years. I'm looking forward to the transition.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye when we return.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught your eye today. Electric cars risk becoming uninsurable.
Well, I guess so, because even a minor fender ding, if it interferes with the electric circuitry or the battery or something like that, gets hugely expensive. The other problem is that they self-ignite and blow up. That's a problem. So they are hugely expensive to operate and to fix. And how long can governments provide the subsidy that encourages people to buy the things? No, the fad for electric vehicles, thankfully, is over.
Norway is now regretting subsidizing electric cars. Apparently, everybody bought an electric car and stopped using public transit.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, that was a story when I was researching this thing about, the costs of replacing a battery in an accident. Some high-end sports cars as well, if they get a minor ding because they have a aluminum body, if it gets twisted in any way, it becomes a write-off. And ICBC apparently has a parking lot full of dinged Porsches.
Oh, my gosh.
I would buy a dinged one. Why not?
I don't know. Anyway.
They look pretty in the parking
lot. I was always an Alfa Romeo guy anyway.
Yes, so. I know you were.
Yeah.
What was that like to repair?
Oh, they were a strong, reliable car that were not expensive to run. I mean, you just had a simple, straight 4 engine, 5-speed gearbox. And they could take any amount of pounding over rough roads and stuff like that. I had British sports cars ages ago as daily drivers, and after a year they were getting fall apart stuff, and you couldn't drive them on rough roads. No, the Alphas from the 50s and 60s were very, very good cars.
General Motors scales back electric vehicle plans as buyers balk.
Oh, yeah, another headline like that. Mm-hmm.
Now, again, is that because there's range anxiety, I know, because in cold weather, the range goes down dramatically because you have to heat your car and it sucks the battery dry, plus the battery can't hold as much of a charge when it's cold. And a lack of charging stations. I heard of a huge lineup in Hope, B.C. on the Trans-Canada Highway. We had to wait hours because people had to charge up their EVs, and it took a long time. So they have. It's like this whole plan to go electric. They haven't talked. They have not developed the infrastructure.
And it's going to be beyond expense, beyond imagination. But actually, Vancouver with the mild climate is an ideal place for electric car because the air conditioning load of the summer is not that much. And it doesn't get that cold. But nevertheless, they are going to be found to be uneconomical and impractical. So.
Vancouver is the Tesla capital of North America.
I did not know that.
More Teslas here than anywhere else.
Well, you sure see them when you're driving around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just what you see. It's an actual thing here. Mm-hmm. Again, they haven't been around long enough for people to find out what happens when you have to get them repaired. Now, there's a part shortage. You may have to wait weeks or months for a spare part. They just wanted to get them out the factory.
My concern about them is that they self-ignite and blow up.
Yes, lithium batteries can take up to 3 days to extinguish if they catch fire.
Oh, yeah, and they can get them out with 10,000 gallons of water, put them in the wreck car place, and 3 days later, they'll ignite again.
Headline, bad loans are becoming a real problem for regional banks in the U.S.
Yeah, that's the way it goes, doesn't it? Yeah, it's the old saying about bankers, is that they're giving out umbrellas on sunny days. Then the moment it starts to rain, they call them in.
And, of course, the U.S. does have hundreds of regional banks, unlike Canada, which has, seven major banks, a couple little ones, that's it.
Yeah.
And, again, the banking system in Canada, I hear, is very solid. Is it, Bob?
Oh, yeah. It was set up beginning in Montreal in 1818, and the original directors were liable for twice the equity they had in it, so it's built-in carefulness in the banks. But where in the U.S. they do not have, or in the 1920s, they did not have big banks with branches all over every state. That was with small banks in every state, and thousands of them failed. Whereas in Canada, the big banks did not fail, but they would have been shutting down branches. So,
They can shrink.
Yeah. Oh, they shrink. Yeah.
Hedge fund Two Sigma is hit by trading scandal. What's the scandal, Bob? What's the dirt?
I read about it, and somebody inappropriately trading, trying to hide a loss, I guess, or something like that. But that's the thing with of a great financial bubble, is when it's over and starts to go the other way, as the saying goes, the tide goes out of the harbor, and there's a lot of ugly stuff on the ocean floor. So,
well, speaking of frauds, the man who had the FTX. Convicted of fraud, and it only took the jury something like 4 hours to deliberate and find him guilty on all charges. He could face up to 100 years in jail.
Oh, well.
Now, well, he was using deposits into his fund as a personal spending account. So if you put 10 grand in to be invested, he was using it to go out and hold orgies with his friends.
Yeah. Well, also, he was able to raise something like $1 billion or something like that.
And was apparently on his way to talk to Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, about how much money would it take to get Donald Trump not to run for president.
When he was
arrested. Yeah, so he was into not just manipulating markets or Bitcoin or other digital currencies. He was trying to manipulate the political scene. Well, you know, there's a cost to everything. Maybe he was onto something there. Yeah. Usually it's politicians asking for money to run, not money not to run.
Yeah.
Headline. Yeah. The specter of hyperinflation looms over the economy.
Now, that's stretching it. Hyperinflation is really printing press money, and the example in a civilized country was, of course, the Weimar inflation in Germany in 1922 and 23. And then in Latin American countries, it's a problem all the time. So, but, Germany then was not a key financial market. They was devastated after World War One. There were reparations. It was a disaster and disastrous policies. They then turned on the printing presses. But you can't do that in the United States. You've got the bond vigilantes, the whole apparatus of finance would prevent a hyperinflation, and we've probably had it's probably maxing out sort of as we speak, and then, as I say, every post-bubble period, the feature has been weak prices. Weak pricing power by businesses and, just general contraction with recessions more severe than the eventual recoveries. I mean, the business cycle doesn't go away. You still have that 3 or 4 year business cycle, but it can get pretty nasty. Following the 1873 bubble, and when England was the senior economy, Walter Badgett, who was the esteemed editor of The Economist, he boasted that with the central bank, the Bank of England, nothing could go wrong. And at the same time, in New York, which was then 1873, did not have a central bank. A leading newspaper in New York published an editorial saying that nothing could grow in the States because it didn't have a central bank, and the Treasury could issue any amounts of currency and credit to prevent bad things from happening. So then we shift back to England, and the post-bubble depression came in, and prices fell. There were bear markets and problems, and so that I think about 1880, senior economists in England began calling it, quote, the Great Depression. And that went until the bottom in 1895. And then you had the long expansion right up to the, in concluding with raging inflation to 1920, that crash. And then a decade later, you had the 1929 bubble. And then you went into the post-bubble deflation again. So these are very reliable patterns, you know.
And if you want to talk about hyperinflation, Argentina is usually the poster child. Their inflation rate right now is 138%, and a lot of experts are saying it'll be 200% by the end of the year. But they're not the worst.
No, you had Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe is at 285%.
Hyperinflation is when, like in Germany, they were going around with wheelbarrows full of currency.
I was going to say in Argentina, they're trading in their wallets for wheelbarrows. But Zimbabwe is the worst. Venezuela, 210%. Sudan, 154%.
Yeah.
And Turkey is running at 73% inflation.
Well, you know, there's a very sad story with the Weimar inflation in Germany. In Berlin, in those days, the middle class was a family that could essentially live off of their investments. So there was a guy who was a musician with the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra and quite oblivious to what was going on until he suddenly looked at his account and realized that a few years earlier it was enough for him to live on, but it was now only enough to buy a tram ticket. So he bought a tram ticket, went out to the nice part of the country, and committed suicide. Too much for him.
Headline, China tech IPOs plunge as regulators turn tough on startups.
Yep, I guess there may be too many strange new issues coming out over there. And also, maybe the market itself is turning against buying new issues. So that happens as well, yeah.
High-grade companies raise $22.5 billion in bond flurry.
Flurry of buying bonds. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
What's behind that, Bob?
The market is still buying bonds, and these might be high-grade bonds. Yeah, it says high-grade corporate. Yeah. So they're buying quality bonds, but the junk bonds have had a whack. But I'm still astounded at, you look at the spreads and stuff like that, but the street is still, I think, far too aggressively buying risk in the interest rate markets. So, and that can be a nasty lesson when it finally all goes bad.
Headline from Reuters, U.S. second home sales slide in pandemic-era hotspots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they all went rushing out and buying second homes in isolated places, and now it looks like you can't sell them. So, yeah.
Well, a lot of it was escape to the country. I can work remotely.
Yeah.
Get away from the pestilence in the big cities. But now, big companies like KPMG and so on that allowed remote work, they've now told employees, you got to come in to the office full time.
I saw a few headlines about that. Yeah, you're going to come in and you're going to work in the office.
Yeah. Now, one of the reasonings behind that is new employees, especially those right out of school, have no workplace kind of ways of dealing with, like, the whole thing is you can't learn, like I said, in the newsroom, you know, having experienced news people is important because not everything's on Google. And same thing in the workplace. There's a lot of them don't know how to behave amongst other people.
Yeah.
Or hierarchy. Maybe you should show a little respect for your supervisor instead of just calling them bud. Hey, bud. Well, if that's what they want, that's fine. Yeah. But there's just office etiquette, procedures. And again, we learn a lot by watching and listening to others. And when you're not around other people, I mean, it's horrible. The Sun newspaper newsroom has shut down. They all work remotely from home. But in a newsroom, you discuss stories and you go, oh, that guy, yeah, he was involved in this scandal several years ago. And, now he's been murdered? So all of a sudden, there's a money trail to follow. But you wouldn't have known that.
I can see that. You explain it well.
So. Yeah. Well, Bob, I'm sure you found that when you were working in big offices with a lot of people and just that spillover knowledge.
Working in a brokerage office was always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there was
things.
Always the camaraderie and excitement and, hey, I got a great order, you know, this kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Now, next December, on the 6th, 7th, and 8th, Vancouver's going to get a huge economic shot in the arm. The Taylor Swift Eras Tour will be coming to British Columbia then. And
that's a year in December?
From this December. And it's a great time for her to hold the concert here because it's on the shoulder season. It's not ski season yet for people heading to Whistler. The cruise ship season is over.
That her concerts bring in huge revenue.
$10 to $40 million.
Wow.
And Taylor herself is truly a self-made billionaire.
Yeah.
Picking in a grin and playing country music. Now she's the world's biggest pop star.
Yeah. And what I like is the Stones have come out with a new album, and it's quality Stone stuff in there. What an incredible group.
Yeah, I saw a great cartoon. It said, record store, Beatles release new single, Rolling Stones release new album. And the guy says, just how far back are they turning the clocks this weekend?
Well, I wrote an article about longevity of bands, where the best band in rock, which is the Stones, have had the longest run. Mm-hmm. And the best band in jazz was Duke Ellington, and it went from 1926 to 1974 when he passed away. And the Stones have gone from, well, when did Satisfaction come out, 1965 or 66, and they're still going, and with this latest album, they're still producing good stuff. Absolutely amazing.
Maybe it's like Berkshire Hathaway stock as well. Quality. Quality is something you can bet on.
When you hear the opening riffs of Satisfaction, you know you're in the presence of greatness.
Mm. Well, Stones concert I went to in Boulder, Colorado, 1981. My ticket was $16.50, and I was in row 16.
Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't even have to pay for it because I was a tour guide, so it was a comp.
Well,
how's that?
maybe 10, 12 years ago, U2 group came to Vancouver, and they played at the stadium, and it was set up through the Vancouver Club. You got there early, had a champagne cocktail, and then you were put into limousines and then driven to the special door at the stadium and up into seats just off the floor. It was incredible. Now that, I think, all together for the two of us was a $700 ticket.
Well, you see, I was spoiled with an entire lifetime in radio, free tickets. I couldn't afford to buy them at the low money that we made, it was great backstage with the Eagles and just all kinds of legends. And finding out, you know, they're just regular folks who are so happy they can make a living playing music. Because David Grohl from the Foo Fighters said, I'm grateful we sell out stadiums. But, you know, if we didn't, every Saturday night, we'd still be in somebody's basement playing music with, my best friends.
I like the comment. That's a good one.
Yeah. Bob?
Well, we've been all over the issues today.
Yeah, from hedge funds to Rolling Stones.
Yes. Okay, Jim.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.